You ready for the word this morning? Glory to God. Let's share our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God, listen, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Glory be to God. I want you to turn to John 16. I'm going to start in verse 8 there, but John 16, verse 8, we're going to deal with the current situation and kind of look at some things. Roxanne mentioned earlier that she thought we were. She didn't know. She didn't have a clue. I didn't talk to her or anything like that. But as we read this, I want you to look at the biblical patterns. Biblical patterns are very, very interesting, and we need to understand biblical patterns. In other words, the works or the workings of the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't understand how the Holy Spirit works, then you won't understand a lot of things going on in the world. If you don't understand biblical patterns and types, you will be in the midst of things and not know what's going on. So we need to understand this. So in John chapter 16, verse 8, it says that when He, that's the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Isn't that good? The ruler of this world is judged or has been judged. He can almost go through. We're laying out the pattern right now. He convicts the world of sin. Now, we've got to understand the world. He convicts the world. That's the world system. That's not the believers. That's not those who believe on Jesus Christ. Now, he does convict us of sin also, but not the way He does the world. But He convicts the world of sin because they don't believe in Christ. And the problem here is they're believing their own vain imaginations. That's a problem with the world. They're believing their own vain imaginations, their own philosophies, and their own traditions. Jesus said, "The traditions of men make the word of God of no effect." Whatever pattern you have established in your culture, if you don't allow that to be altered by the word of God, that will conform your reaction to whatever you hear. You will operate through that lens, as they say. So the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin because they're believing in their vain imaginations, their own philosophies, their own traditions, their own patterns, their own ways of thinking, their own imaginations is an interesting word, but they're believing whatever they make up. You know, it's just like, well, I believe that. Well, you can believe that all you want. That doesn't make it true. Now, I know they say that about us in the church, but we have the Word of God. And we have a God of history that has revealed Himself over and over again and again and still works and operates through people and speaks by His prophets. Amen? So we have a Word of God. They have, well, this was a really good idea, and I think it would work if we do it for the 100th time. We'll finally get it right. No, it won't. What's wrong is wrong. Amen? So the second thing the Holy Spirit does is He convicts the world of righteousness. Again, convicts the world of righteousness. Now, I'm going to simplify this and not go into a whole message on righteousness, but let's simply say righteousness is God's right way. He comes to convict the world that there is a right way and it belongs to God. There is a right way and a wrong way. Boy, that's controversial today. There is truth and there is not truth. There is right and there is wrong. And our cause is truth. That's the cause of Christ, is truth. It is the person. Truth is the person of Jesus Christ. Now, listen to this. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. It sounds right. It sounds good. It sounds like it would work, but it's going to kill you and destroy you. You know, they put poison in your toothpaste. Did you know that? Now, I'm not going on a real long thing, you know, but they put a poison. If you would sit and drink a glass of it, you would die. But a little bit of it is good, and it protects you. See, but the way of man is, well, if a little bit would help, a whole lot would be better, right? You know, it's like, no, it can kill you. A little bit works, but not everything works that way. So not everything in the world works that way. So there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is death. This is key. There is a way to salvation. There is a way to salvation. This is so crucial. There is a way to fix stuff, to fix things. There is a way. It can be done. Amen? But often we cannot see the truth till after the fact. We don't understand what happened until we've gone through it. We don't understand what could have been or what should have been until it's too late to do it. We've all had those moments in our life, oh, I knew I should have listened to that still small voice in the back of my head, and I just didn't do it. It's like, well, after the fact, you come up there, well, that was the right thing to do. What I did was wrong, but I understand the right thing to do now. So even the disciples did not recognize Jesus until after the resurrection. They confessed he was Lord, confessed he was God. They believed on him and in him, but they did not have a full understanding of who Jesus was till after he died and was raised from the dead. And after he died, they were willing to leave. Some of them went to Emmaus. Jesus had to pick them up on the road, turn them around, reveal himself to them. Boy, I'd like an experience like that, but I don't want to be caught on the way to Emmaus when I'm supposed to be in Jerusalem. Amen. I don't want Jesus to have to sit down and talk to me and then disappear before I get it. I want to get it first. Blessed is he who does not see and yet believes. Amen. Hallelujah. So the third thing the Holy Spirit does in this passage Jesus talks about is he convicts the world of judgment. The ruler, now convicting the world is to convict the ruler, his ways and his methods that they don't work. So we've got to understand this. The scripture literally says in verse 11 of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, the ruler of this world, his methods, his ideology, his practices don't work. They don't work. They look good on paper. They do not work. It's that simple. And we need to understand that this is what Jesus, this is a judgment on the ruler of this world, that he realizes that what I'm trying to do just flat out doesn't work. You would think we wouldn't have to go through 70 years to figure that out, or maybe almost 90 years now to figure that out, but it just doesn't work. And people keep trying to reinvent the wheel, even though what they have works. No, we want something new. We want something different. We're always drawn to what we don't have. Now, Lance Wallnau, let me just share this. I was awake all night last night. I looked at Fox News and I saw a report, and it's like I didn't like the report, and it just really set me on edge. And I went to bed and told Debbie, turn off the TV because my attention's drawn to it. She always has Christian programs on, but my mind is just drawn to the television. I need silence. I want nothing going through my head. I want to empty it out. My head wouldn't empty. So I laid there in bed for what seemed like hours. I know I finally went to sleep because I woke up about, I think it was 3:20 or something like that, and could not go back to sleep. And I'm laying there, and I've got stuff going through my head and all these things going on around me, and I'm going through all this junk in my head, my spirit, my soul, not my spirit, in my soul. And at 6:28, I got up. And at 6:28 this morning, God gave me the answer. He said simply this: Trump is the chaos candidate. He is the disruptor. And I'm thinking, well, I know that, but the revelation came. He is the chaos candidate. He is the disruptor. Now, Lance Wallnau, 4.5 years ago, said that he is the chaos candidate. Hopefully we all know that and understand it. I'm not telling you something new. I'm telling you my revelation of it. It finally sunk in. I know this. I understood it to a point. But from day one, now think about this. He is the disruptor. From day one, people have criticized his tweets. I mean, of all things to complain about, his tweeting, he disrupted the social market. He disrupted social media. How dare he do that? We've never had a president tweet before. How dare he tweet? Oh, this is horrible that he's tweeting. He's telling you his mind. It's called transparency. We've never had a president that was transparent, that he would think and tweet, you know, and say, well, I don't really like all of his tweets, but he's transparent. You know what? He's not hiding anything. He's not holding anything back. But it disrupted social media. Do you know even some of his tweets were banned, were taken down? Some of his Twitter stuff or Facebook stuff, I believe, was taken down. What are you afraid? He's the president of the United States of America. Now, these same people, when Joe Biden gets enough sense to know how to tweet, I say it because I don't know how to tweet either, but if he begins to tweet, do you think they would ever shut him down? No. Do you ever think they would ban him from Facebook? No. Why? They're in league with one another. So when Trump, who is a chaos candidate, the disruptor, when he begins to tweet, oh my goodness, they go absolutely nuts. Now let me say this. The same people that are complaining about his tweets, now this is harsh, I'm trying to be direct, this is what the Lord was giving to me. The same people didn't like the prophets. They didn't like John the Baptist. They didn't like Jesus Christ. Because in their day, they tweeted. And in their day, they said, you hypocrites, you Pharisees, you liars, you whitewashed sepulchers, you talk all the right stuff, but you're inside, you are full of dead men's bones. And that's what Donald Trump was tweeting, and the social media didn't like it. Now, I'm not telling you anything that really is debatable. You may not like what I'm saying, but it's really not debatable. They didn't like his tweets. Well, why didn't they like his tweets? Because they don't like him. Why don't they like him? Because they don't like God. You know, this I'm trying to get it down because I've only got a limited amount of time to do this morning, so I want to break it down for you. They didn't like the prophets. They didn't like John the Baptist. They didn't like Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will lift you up. But listen, once you gain control through your own efforts, you don't easily give it up. And that's what we've been fighting through. Now listen, you can't fix something that isn't broken. You can't fix it till you know it's broken. Hello? And Donald Trump is the disruptor. He's a chaos candidate. He's telling us, this is broke. He told us our social media is broke. We all know it. He told us our news media is broke. We all know it. But nobody does anything about it. Now, I'm going to go through this kind of in a systematic way. These are some of the things that our nation is dealing with right now. Systemic racism. Now, the basic belief behind systemic racism is that our political system is rigged. If we're a minority, the whole system, everything in the system is rigged against you. There is no way you can succeed because no matter what you do, no matter what amount of education you have, no matter what kind of training, no matter what your background is, the system is rigged against you. Forget it, go home, give up. Reverend Wright preached in his church that President Obama sat in at the time and heard the message, told his people, in a minority church, told his people, it's okay to become middle class, just don't become too middle class. Because once you get too middle class, then you'll lose your attachment to the community and you'll lose your blackness and you will become white. Under President Obama, the middle class took the biggest hit it has ever taken. Why are they afraid of the middle class? Because the middle class is no longer dependent. And the middle class starts thinking for themselves. It's the same reason that the slave owners didn't let the slaves read. Because if you read, you get ideas. If you can hear other opinions on social media, you might think about it. So we have to ban things that the state doesn't agree with to keep you in your place. So the political system is rigged. The education, the courts, the police, the banks, whatever it is all rigged according to systemic racism because everything is against you, okay? That's what it means. Everything is against you. That's why they want to defund the police. That's why they want to get rid of the government. They want to undo the courts and all this stuff. But who reveals this more than President Donald Trump? Who was revealing the bankruptcy of our institutions more than Donald Trump? Now, I'm going to say something here. This systemic racist system called the deep state has gone after Trump before he became president. Why? He's a disruptor. They knew what was coming is that he reveals all the systemic racism that's in our society because he's going to attack the very things that Black Lives Matter is so upset about. You would think they would get on the Trump train. You would think they would agree with him because they're saying everything in our culture is bad, and they get celebrated for it. Donald Trump says the same thing. Oh, he's an evil person. Is it true? It's true. It's true. Now, I want to say this. President Donald Trump is the civil rights leader president. He is out in front on civil rights. He actually believes in equal rights and opportunities for everyone. Now, I know some people are going to say, that's not true, that's not true. He's for education. He's for health care for people. He's lowering the health care costs. He's for jobs. He's lowering regulations. Now, listen, one of the things about lowering the regulations for employers is that it allows other people, particularly minorities, to start businesses. More minority businesses have been started up in the last 4 years under Donald Trump than any other president in history because he lessened the regulations and requirements to open your business. Wow, that sounds like civil rights to me. That's true. Check me out on it. That's true. That's even what the social media and the press will tell you if they actually report the evidence for it. Now, he believes, Donald Trump believes that the best deal for America is also what is the best deal for the people. So what's good for America is going to be good for you because America is only great because you're great. And if you cannot be great, if your greatness is suppressed, then America can no longer be great. That's how he thinks. Trump has done more for the civil rights since Martin Luther King Jr. He's done more than anybody since that time, including Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and Chuck Schumer, including Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Now, I say that because they joined the system. Jesse Jackson joined the system. Al Sharpton joined the system. Chuck Schumer joined the system. Black Lives Matter joined the system. Who would pay people to go out and burn down buildings? The system. Okay? I'm not dealing with conspiracy theories here. We're dealing with facts here. But the problem is they joined the system of the deep state. They benefited while keeping their own people locked up on the plantation. I'm saying some harsh things, but I want to get it out there. Trump is a disruptor, like the Holy Spirit. He comes to convict the world of sin. Now, Donald Trump is not the Holy Spirit. He is not God. He is not the Messiah, but he is God's man for the moment. He is God's, the one that God's using in the moment because, one, he's pliable. Two, he's honest. He reveals things. Trump reveals things by bringing them to the surface. I mean, he just brings it up. I don't like his tweet. Why don't you like his tweet? Because it's about me. And you notice they don't defend their actions. They attack the tweet. If you have, well, you're just so mean. Well, is it true? Well, we're not dealing with that. We got to deal with this tweet stuff first before we get to the point of whether it's true or not. But it is true, but it's just he shouldn't tweet it because, see, this was hidden for years by the media, by the establishment, by my cronies. It was hidden, and now Trump's bringing it out, and we don't like that. President Trump has been called a racist, even though he has won national awards from the NAACP. But when he came out as a Republican, suddenly he's a racist. Well, why is that? Because all Republicans are racist. I mean, just that's just, and on top, he's a white man. Did you know that? Donald Trump was white. So if you're white, you're a racist. If you're a Republican, you're a racist. So therefore, Donald Trump is a racist, even though the NAACP gave him, and I think 2 years in a row, one of the best top awards that they could possibly give to anybody. Now, this is weird, because see, it's okay to give lip service. What they really don't like and what they really don't expect from you is to challenge the system. And Donald Trump challenges the whole system. He is the disruptor. He is the chaos candidate. And you know, everyone talks about the swamp. Nobody does anything about it. Now think about it. Every elected official, we're going to clean up Washington, D.C. Really? When are you going to start? As soon as you elect me, I'm going to start cleaning up Washington, D.C. As soon as we elect you, in the Democratic Party, this is how it is. Joe Manchin was a conservative. Joe Manchin was probably one of the better governors that our state has ever had. He was a good governor. He was a good man. He spoke up for the people of West Virginia. When he went to Washington, he dumped all that stuff. He was anti-abortion in the state. Now he's pro-abortion. He was anti-high taxes in the state. Now he's for high taxes. I mean, everything he did as governor, he totally dumped it when he went to state. He bought into the system. Because I'll tell you, the system is big. The system is deeper than what any of us ever thought about. That's why they call it the deep state. You can call it whatever you want to, but it's the good old boys group. It's just, you know, we don't even have to have meetings. We just know what needs to be done. We just know it. Now, they control everything in private because sunshine is a disinfectant. That's why they do everything behind closed doors. We'll get to that here in a little bit. God works in the light. Here's a good rule of thumb. If it's not transparent, it probably involves sin. That's just simple. If I have to hide it, then I'm probably covering something up. Amen? Because if I want to show you I'm pure and clean, I'm in the open. You know, I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to get my press corps together. I'm not going to get my social media together to fight for me. I'm going to just come into my house, take a look-see. 4 years of a fake investigation, and they found nothing. Not even a hint of Russia collusion. 4 years, and yet the media will still not let it go. But they can't find anything, nothing about it at all. Check me out on it. Mueller said, we can't find anything. If they would have found a pencil out of place, they would have tried Trump. They couldn't find anything. We had the commission in the House investigate Donald Trump, found nothing. They got up their panel of expert constitutional lawyers, and every one of them, Trey Gowdy asked every one of them, he says, has anything been done by Trump? Because they were all against Trump. They had one Republican, sort of, but they were all against Trump. Trey Gowdy asked every one of them, he says, has this president done anything that is impeachable? Every single one of them answered, and it's on tape, no. No, there's nothing that he did was impeachable. So immediately after they testified, Adam Schiff stands up. He says, we now have absolute proof from these constitutional lawyers that Trump did an impeachable offense. In what world does he live in? 4 years and they found nothing, not even a hint. But they did find a lot about the FBI, the CIA, Homeland Security, the Justice Department. They found out a lot about them, but it'll all be covered up if Trump doesn't gain the presidency. It'll all be put under. See, if a sitting president is treated this dishonestly, the little guy cannot succeed. It reinforces systemic racism. That's what it does. And it's on full display for everyone to see. See, you will always be oppressed because big government is not the size of government, it is the scope of government. It's not how many employees it has, it's what they stick their nose into your area of life. Let's move now over to healthcare. The corruption goes all the way up to the top of the World Health Organization, WHO. They said, you've got to close everything down. You've got to lock it down. They organized and oversaw a worldwide shutdown that they have backed off from now, saying it doesn't control anything. Every nation in the world went on lockdown, all within a week of each other. It was coordinated. It wasn't accidental. It was coordinated. And about a month ago, and I've heard this and I've read it, but you don't hear anybody talking about it. WHO, the president that ordered, that said we've got to lock everything down, said it doesn't matter. It doesn't stop the virus. That's what they found out. It doesn't stop the virus. It's going to go around. There's nothing you can do about it. It will go around. But there's ways you can defeat it. There's ways you can build up your immunity. There's things you can do that are out there that physicians have said. I talked to had my annual health care checkup the other day, and I'm in great shape. And I asked him about this stuff. And he said, oh, yeah, there's things you can take. I said, why aren't doctors talking about this stuff? He says, I don't know. Why isn't the health organizations talking about it? I don't know. I talked to a pharmacist the other day, and I asked him, how does this spread? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, does the health department keep you up to date? No. Where is it breaking out right now? Where is the biggest thing where it breaks out? I don't know. But you notice every time there's a spike, they all say, we've got to shut all the restaurants down. Why? Most cases have nothing to do with restaurants. You've got to be in close proximity for at least 15 minutes before you can possibly pick it up. That's what CDC says. So unless you're in that time, your probable odds of getting it are not too much. You say, well, Gordon, that's just a lie. You cannot believe it if you want to. But I'm just telling you what the CDC says. I got into an argument or a discussion with a guy here a couple weeks ago, and I'm starting to quote him facts. He said, where are you getting these numbers? He didn't like it. I said, CDC. I said, they're on their website. You can look them up if you want. He just and walked off, you know. Don't confuse them with facts. Don't confuse them with anything. Because, listen, they don't have any answers. It's all about the tweet. You shouldn't say it. Even though everybody knows it, don't say it out loud. Why? Because the deep state will get you. The systemic racism will shut you down. Okay, moving on. Churches are now being sued by states for opening. In California, some of the churches are calling their worship services protests in order to be legal. I'm serious. Andrew Womack was sued. He lost the suit, and they sent inspectors to monitor his services over the week last weekend. And he said, I don't know if I'm going to be arrested or fined. I don't. They haven't made up their mind yet. But the lawsuit was saying that as long as he is an educational facility, there are no limits to how many people can gather. Once it switches over to saying praise the Lord, it becomes a worship service, and now they can come in and monitor your worship service. That's the fine line it is. And he sued on the fact that you cannot treat churches different from any other school or educational facility. And he lost. Why? Andrew, you shouldn't tweet. You shouldn't say things that are obvious, because the deep state will come after you to shut you up. Let's move on to the elections. That's all a current thing today, isn't it? We're getting ready to wind down here a little bit. I'm just trying to lay out some things so you understand what's going on. Donald Trump is a chaos candidate. He is the disruptor, and he is disrupting everything that he touches in society. So for the elections, the Democrats have said for 4 years that the Russians want us to doubt our electoral system. Okay? With what's happening before our eyes, who needs to worry about Russia or China unless it's through our own elected officials who control the system? They're still talking about Russia's trying to influence our system. They don't need to. The election boards are doing a fine job. Hello? The courts are doing a fine job of shutting down our electoral system and challenging and making people not trust it, not believe in it. The cheating is undermining our election system. Michigan, I love this. Michigan found 47 counties in Michigan. This is documented. 47 counties in Michigan were found that voting machines were shifting Trump votes for Biden. In one county, there were 6,000 that they found. Multiply that by 47, it's over 280,000 votes being switched. Now, that just doesn't mean 280,000 more for Biden. It means 280,000 less for Trump, which totals up about, what, 560,000 votes? It's amazing, isn't it? Don't tweet it. You'll be in trouble. The Democratic areas and some of these, and this is all going on in these battleground states. The Democratic area, some Democratic areas had as high as 99 to 100% voter turnout. Statistically not possible. No group. And guess what? They all voted for Biden. Pennsylvania shut down county. They don't know why. Pennsylvania was one of several states. They shut down county. Nobody knows why. Because you're not supposed to shut down county, period. You just don't shut it down. Pennsylvania shut it down. When they came back 3 hours later, there were 50,000 ballots there that weren't there when they left. All of them for Joe Biden. Documented. Now, there was a thing that went out that there was 138,000 votes in Michigan that were transferred over. And that was untrue. They found out it was a statistical error, and they corrected it within 20 minutes. But over in another state, they found 100,000 votes that had been brought in. This is rampant. This is going on all over. One state, I forget what state it was, I like the person who said, this is my favorite story. He says there was a World War I, the oldest World War I veteran voted for Joe Biden. He was 120 years old, except he died 30 years ago. But he would have been the oldest surviving World War I soldier. He voted for Joe Biden. How does this happen? Would someone explain it to me? I'm asking a question. Pennsylvania courts ruled against federal law to restrict observers from watching the counting of the votes. Federal law requires all vote counting to have an observer there from the opposite party to watch over it. They went to court, and the first court said, you've got to allow advisors or observers in. So they appealed it. Who appealed it? To go by the federal law. They appealed it, went to the state Supreme Court, which is 5 Democrats, 2 Republicans, and it failed 5-2 that they are not required to have observers to watch over the counting of the votes. It's amazing, as the movie says. Pennsylvania courts even went one step further. I think it was the Supreme Court said that they will determine what votes are legitimate, overriding the state legislature that has already determined and laid out perfectly clear what legal votes are. Now, I've got to say this because this is a real big one among all the liberals. Minorities are affected the most. See, anything that affects minorities is bad, right? If it's a negative effect on minorities. Now listen to this. I'm not trying to be silly here or frivolous. If the system can manufacture votes, who knows if the cities are as liberal as we're told? Who knows what the inner city really thinks? Because if they don't think according to the system, we're proving right now the system is changing votes, so you don't know what the cities are actually voting. Do you know that in the black community, I think it's close to 80% favor charter schools? Do you know of any Democrat that has voted in favor of charter schools? No. But they represent the minorities. Why don't they want charter schools? Because if they learn how to read, they get ideas. If they can learn a trade and get a business, they get ideas. And once they get ideas, it's harder to keep them on the plantation. But, and I can't remember who this was, but we heard a person the other day. He said, we didn't hear him, it was on my text thing, or my Facebook page. This one pastor said, but he woke up with these words, on the third day. On the third day. So that just kept going to me, on the third day, on the third day. See, the disciples were discouraged, but on the third day. Go with me to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. You need to see this. It says, so the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea. The Egyptians pursued. Why is it a surprise that the Egyptians would pursue them? They didn't want to let them go to start with. Now, two interesting quotes. Kamala Harris, vice president nominee, said right now about 2 weeks ago at a campaign event, she said, I will appoint an LGBTQ plus committee to monitor the churches for hate speech. Can you imagine someone saying, we're going to do that to the Muslims, mosques? They would be run out of town on a rail. Can you feature someone saying, we're going to go to the minority churches and we're going to put monitors in to watch what they say? Can you imagine the repercussions? But Kamala Harris, and I only heard this on one news report, and then it died. Because this is one of those tweets you don't tweet. And you don't retweet it. But she said, I'm going to appoint an LGBTQ plus committee to monitor churches for hate speech. Oh, get this one. Keith Oberman, is that right, Oberman? He left, I think, CNN or MSNBC. He left one of those and got it on his own network because they censored him too much. Okay, he was supposedly a real hot shot. I know the name that. So he was supposedly a real hot shot anchor. He said, and this is a quote, Trump supporters should be arrested, prosecuted, and removed from our society. Ooh, removed. Arrested for what? Tweeting is bad. You cannot tweet. You cannot state your opinion if it opposes the opinion of the state, because our job is to keep you under and keep you on the plantation and not let you be free. That is the job of the deep state, to control everyone and everything. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ brought a spirit of liberty? We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. The world is full of darkness, but we're the light. And we can walk in the light no matter how dark it is outside. Amen. But Trump supporters should be arrested, prosecuted, again, for what? And removed from society. Wow. Kind of sounds like gulags, concentration camps. Sounds like they could even separate children from their parents and put them in cages. Sounds a lot like that. Let's go on Genesis 14, verse 13. He says, Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. First thing he says, the enemy is coming. Don't fear. Don't get into this. Don't get into worry. And that's exactly where the devil wants to get us right now. Regardless of who finally wins, and Pennsylvania even announced that they're expecting another dump of ballots, a major dump of ballots on November the 12th. So they're already anticipating it's going to be the 12th before they even know what their vote is in their state. That was from an election official. I don't know how he knows that. But so we can't get into fear. And then he says, stand still. Now, I saw, what was his name last night preaching on this? That's what really got me. I forget who the pastor's name is. But he was preaching on this, and he says, to stand still doesn't mean to just stop in place. It means to be firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. Don't back up. Don't move. Stand firm. Hold your ground. Don't give up anything. Hold your ground. Be resolute without wavering in faith. Don't let this shake your faith in God or shake your faith in what God's about ready to do. And then he says, stand fast and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, because I'm doing a name study on our daily broadcast right now, the word Lord really stood out to me. It's Yahweh. I am that I am, the Almighty, the Everlasting, the Eternal, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who controls everything. Stand still, be firm in your faith, and see the salvation of our Yahweh, of our God. See it. So there's a standing, and then there's a seeing the salvation of the Lord, which it goes on to say, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Verse 14, for the Lord, or he said, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I like that, hold your peace. Shut up. If there's anything that wants to come out of your mouth that is not the peace of God, that is not the word of God, you need to just bite your lip and hold your tongue. You need to not speak the things that are contrary to God. See, the Bible tells us God watches over his word to perform it. Well, if he's watching over it to perform it, shouldn't I have that kind of concern? I'm going to watch over his word to perform it. I'm going to watch his word to see it come to pass. See, now this is the thing, and this is so awesome. America is united again. You go, what? 68 million people came together in faith, came together believing God. 68 million people all fighting for righteousness and for justice. 68 million people. That's 4 million more than 4 years ago. Did you know, and I got to throw this in, but I've heard this on several news reports. I'm not watching that much news, so this is obviously out there. Biden underperformed both Hillary and Obama in all the cities across the nation, in all the cities across the nation except Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Georgia, and the Carolina. Underperformed, except in these cities. Now, isn't it amazing? I've heard Joe Biden said, if any black doesn't vote for me, then he's really not black. We've had some other senators that have said that basically the same type of thing. The quote just went out of my head, but basically the same. He said there's too many blacks that voted the wrong way. Oh, really? So you think you should tell them how they should vote? There's too many of them. They voted the wrong way. Now, what does all that mean? It means we are more united than we've ever been. It means the church is coming together. The church is beginning to stand up. The church is not as out there as what we were afraid. The church is actually coming together. The true church is. America is united. Now go with me to Isaiah 59. I don't have much time, but I'll just close with this, and then we're going to shout hallelujah. But Isaiah 59, verse 18 says, according to their deeds, according he will repay, God will repay, fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, the coastlands he will fully repay, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west. And that's Yahweh. They shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I'll tell you, Donald Trump has raised up a standard. It's the same standard, I believe, as Jesus Christ. He's lifted up a standard. What I want to tell you is don't quit, because the standard has been lifted up. The standard is there, and it's being held high in the church. It's being held high in the nation, and they are petrified of it. They are scared of it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to be misrepresenting the voting and everything else the way they have to do. I heard a guy say this years ago. Now, this is really kind of crucial. I'm not just on a wild goose chase here. But why did they pass Jim Crow laws in the South? Now, think about it. Why did they pass? If there was such racism that blacks couldn't eat at restaurants, why do you need to pass a law suddenly in the late 59s or early 60s? Why do you have to suddenly pass laws? Democrats passed it, by the way. Why do you suddenly have to pass laws that black people can't eat in white restaurants? Why do you suddenly have to pass laws that you have to have different bathrooms? Why do you suddenly have to pass laws you can't drink out of the same water fountain? I'll tell you why, because it was going on all the time. And in order to stop it, the deep state passed laws to make it illegal Therefore, the deep state could now come in and punish you and keep you from doing what normal people do anyway. And that is, we get along. Because we're not caught up by the color of our skin. We're not caught up with where you live here or whether you live there. We're not caught up in things like that. Because the Bible says in Christ Jesus, we're all one. There's no male or female. There's no slave or free. There's no Jew. There's no Gentile. There's no male. There's no female. In Christ, we're all one. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. And see, we're coming together as one, and the world is scared. Don't think that this is a setback. I don't know what, well, I believe in my spirit what I want to happen. I believe what God has said is going to happen. But I'm just saying, don't get swayed by what does or doesn't happen. Stay on the things of God, because we are more united than we've ever been before, and the world knows it. And this whole thing, Florida governor the other day made a comment that with Al Gore and Bush and their election, they held up the election for 37 days while Al Gore sued, and they went through recount after recount after recount. 37 days. It's only been five today since the election. 37 days, we did not know who was president of the United States. And I know you've all heard, well, the Supreme Court made the decision. The Supreme Court did not make the decision. But the Supreme Court said, you've had so many recounts, nothing has changed, no more recounts. We're putting a stop to it. And the recounts all showed George Bush won Florida, and George Bush became president of the United States of America. You don't know what could happen between now and then. You don't understand how these things work. There's people that do. I'm not one of them. But I know we can pray in the Spirit. And I know we can not fear. We can stand firm and watch the move of God. And we can keep our peace. I'm not going to lose my peace. I'm not going to lose my peace. I'm not going to let the world dictate to me how I should live or how I should feel. I'm going to go with the Word of God. Amen. Let's stand. Worship team, I want you to come forward. We're going to sing a closing song. You'll like this one. It's out of Exodus 15. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Do you agree with that? This is what we're beginning to experience. This is what we're beginning to see right now. Hallelujah.